Welcome to another episode of Hezzy Pull-Up Basketball. You already know what it is. It's your host, Martin Beezy Onebu. We're back again, another season. This is season three of Hezzy Pull-Up Basketball. You already know what we do. We talk about basketball. We get into it. You know, we talk about Curry. We talk about LeBron. We talk about KD. We talk about the NBA. We talk about who we think is going to win. You know, we just get into deep intellectual basketball talk. And of course, I'm never up here alone. I always have a bevy of crazy, comical characters who know what the heck they're talking about. Of course, I always got my gang with me. And on this episode, I got my boy Ease Raps. I got Mr. Ezamon. Neil, how you feeling, my guy?
I'm alive. I'm blessed. Thank you for having me back on the show.
That's what's up. Good to have you back, Neil. And then, of course, I got my first timer on the show. I got my boy. We've been used to hoop with each other, hang out with each other all the time back in the day. He's a family man now, but he came to drop some knowledge. I got my boy, Sar Lebby, on the call. Sar, how you feeling, my dude? Welcome.
Doing good, man. Old man ankles right here, man.
There we go. Hey, that's his nickname, old man ankles. But he gave me the shimmy one time. He gave me that AI crossover. I won't forget it. But he's now up here to drop some knowledge. So we're going to really get into this. And you guys can stay unmuted. We're going to get into these topics. But we just want to talk about the NBA so far. Hopefully you guys are listening. You guys are entertained with the NBA so far. It's been interesting. But we're about to talk about our early impressions of what's going on. You know, it's very early in the season, extremely early in the season, right? But there are some teams that are standing out. So, we're just going to get into that real quickly. I want to know your guys' impressions of the NBA so far. But, you know, I'm going to start off real quick. I'm going to say a team that's really surprising me is the Miami Heat. Miami Heat, like, I said this before, maybe Neil knows, he's heard me say it, but as soon as the Miami Heat got Kyle Lowry, they got P.J. Tucker, they got one of the Morris twins, I believe Marcus Morris, I think it's Marcus Morris they have, or Markeith, was one of them. You know, they had all those guys, of course, and then, you know, they're coming back with their shooters. I was like, man, this team's going to be a good team. You know, I'm not sure if they could overcome the Nets. Man, the Bucks are always good, but I was like, this team's gonna be in contention, and right now they're 5-1, unless they're 6-1 when this comes out. But they're 5-1. They got great defense. Tyler Herro's averaging 22 points a game. Their 3-point shooting is crazy as per usual. So the Miami Heat's pretty impressive. And then another team that's impressive is the Washington Wizards. Washington Wizards are 5-1 right now too, I believe. And it's crazy. Bradley Beal's doing his thing. You know, they had that cast from the Los Angeles Lakers there. So they already are gelling with each other. I don't think the Wizards are going to stay there. I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs, if you want to be for real. But they are impressive right now. But the Miami Heat is one team I gotta talk about. Miami Heat's really impressive. What teams are you noticing at the start of the season, Neil?
I don't know. I'm not shocked by Miami at all. Like, I thought, like, when they added Kyle Lowry and a few other pieces that are skipping my mind right now over the offseason, I thought they were going to make a push. After getting swept last year, I think they had, you know, you had to come back reloaded basically to right. Compete with the Bucks. As far as who I'm noticing, honestly, it's still too early for me. Yeah. I like what Charlotte's, you know, developing right now.
Yeah.
They're kind of just building off the foundation of last year's team. So, LaMelo being, you know, the number one for sure and clear-cut starter, no, there's no debate about it and everything like that to start the season, has gotten them off to a pretty good start too. So them and I would say the Bulls, I like the Bulls, still a little bit more to see, but I would say those two come to mind.
I forgot about the Bulls. Bulls are doing something, you know, DeRozan, LaVine, Lonzo Ball. Very, very interesting group that they got there, and you know, they're winning games, so that's what's important, right? So, which team is sticking out to you early on in this season?
Well, I'm actually going to go reverse. The Clippers, they're playing like trash, man. So I was really surprised, you know, by, you know, the way they're playing. I know Kawhi's not there and whatnot, but still, I mean, they're playing just really, really bad. Defense-wise, they usually play much better. And right now, they're just playing like, you know, every man for themselves.
Yeah, just one win right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're playing really bad, man. And surprising, to be honest, is Golden State. I know they had that win streak at the end of the season last season, but without Clay and still doing as good as they're doing, I mean, that's really surprising. And then Jordan, I think Poole, I think that's his name.
Yep.
I mean, he sort of has like that Jordan Clarkson feel, except he starts like, he has lights out. He just shoots all day, and he has no fear, man. So I'd be surprised to see, how long they can maintain this. They're shooting really well.
He might be most improved player this year, Jordan Poole.
Yeah.
If he keeps it up.
I think if you're talking about disappointment as well, I think you got to throw the Blazers in there as well, because I think they're 500 right now. I think 3-3. But for a veteran team that's been together for years, that I don't think – I mean, the core group at least has been together for years, but they shouldn't get off this slow.
But why are the Blazers doing so bad? Like, I don't know what it, Dame's only putting up 18 points a game.
Melo's a huge part for sure.
Losing Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, that's a huge part, man.
That's why their team is so bad.
I don't know why, but I know that's a huge part. I wouldn't say just that, but
I don't know where they're ranked defensively, but I would probably point to that, because I always see them giving up like 120 point games and things like that. So I wouldn't be. I don't know where they're ranked, and this is just me talking off head, but I don't know. I think it's more defense than anything else, though.
Yeah, in fact, they've been doing bad on defense for the last 3-4 years. They just they always play shootouts.
They have not been known. The Portland Trailblazers have not been known for defense, even though now they have Chauncey Billups as the coach. But they have not been known for defense. Like, they've just been known as the guards score, and then then the big men get the rebounds and put it back in. That's just how they play.
But that's kind of outrageous, though. Like, I think they should be, miles ahead of the competition in the West, because they got less to gel. Like, Like, their core group has been together for a while. So
I still think they miss that it factor, though, man. Like, they need that it factor. I don't know what it is, but it ain't McCollum and Lillard. They ain't about to win that, so.
So they need to change. They need to like trade one of them, or they just need like another person added to that team.
I'll let Neil answer first, but I know my thoughts on it.
I think it really. I don't know. I mean, as far as them like getting off to the slow start, I think that's really just. I really think that's just defense and getting adjusted to Billups' style, I guess. How he wants to play, but yeah, I mean, I just looked it up. They're giving up 120 per game. Jeez. On average. So yeah, it's not that's God terrible.
Dang.
So yeah,
even for today's NBA, that's
bad. Yeah, that's bad in today's NBA. So yeah, I mean, I think once they get that straightened out, of course Dame's gonna start shooting better, but I don't know. I want to say it's just a slump, but we'll see by Christmas where they stand.
Yeah. Sorry, Whiteside, was he I know they lost him. Did he lose him just last year, or I mean, was it this year that they lost him, or was it last year? Was he not with the Blazers?
I can't remember, but I know that he wasn't good he wasn't good for the last couple years. I think
crazy.
Yeah, he was on the Kings, and he was on the Blazers at one time too. And
he was.
I know he's on the Jazz right now, because I saw their roster actually just the other day. I think he's doing better, but yeah, he hasn't been good for a minute, man.
Yeah. Now, I mean, to answer your question, I think, losing Melo, and I think, what was the average? It was like 18 or 15. I don't know what it was. And then your defense still not doing good. I mean, those extra points could be a boost that you need to win those, closer games. If they're not going to be stopping anybody, then you got to outscore somebody. And if you lose, those points, you got to be able to make it up somehow. It's just kind of just doing basic math there. But, I feel like they need another piece, and the other piece, it may need to be, either trading McCollum and then, try to figure it out, with him off the team. But, you can't really say trade Lillard. That's just insane.
Yeah.
I should get back Steph or something. But
Lillard might leave. Y'all don't think Lillard's going to leave this year after this? What else is there? Huh?
Well, can he?
I don't know. Maybe
on the paper right now, I don't think you can do that. I think he got like a couple more years left on his deal too, so they'd have to get like a somebody who's going to absorb that money. But
Neil, you think Lillard's going to stay?
I don't think he has a choice.
You said?
I don't think he has a choice.
Well, you're right, but what about like Kawhi? You're right. He don't have a choice, but
he's not built like those guys, though. That's the thing. Like, he's always kind of been like, I'm staying home. I want to win one here. You know what I mean? Like, that mentality has been him this whole time. So I don't see him switching up, you know, out of the blue. I don't even know who he would go to anyway that would be like, all right, I'm going to contend here. I'm trying to think of a place where he'd be the number one still, and I can't really think of one offhand unless it's a bad team. You know what I mean? But
just
you
for
brought up the Clips and Kawhi. I mean, that's actually interesting because I know that's been tossed out before, but Kawhi didn't sign up. He didn't re-up, did he?
He did.
He did.
Mm-hmm. He did re-up?
Yep.
Oh, well, that's dead then.
Oh, you said trade Kawhi for Dame Lillard?
No. Like, in terms of like the extra asset that they need. And Kawhi is that type of person where, you know, he can, you know, make a leap to like a, not necessarily a small market, but, you know, not the popular choice. And I think he'll make that team good. And I think Portland would be a place that, you know, Kawhi is just so like random. If somehow they were to get him, I think that would be, you know, putting them like closer to the, you know, 1-2, you know, 3 range there. So.
Well, the problem with Kawhi is no one fully knows what's going on in his head, if we're going to be honest. Like, it's hard to, you know, he's a great player. He works hard. He's hard to figure out. So would Kawhi go to a small market team like the Portland Trailblazers? Would his camp, his agent, his uncle, would he go there? We don't know. If he went there, yeah, they'd be a playoff team. Like, switching him with McCollum and he's healthy, they're going to be at least, like, in the hunt. But, like, what Neil gave the thumbs down. Neil, go ahead.
I think the reason why he wanted out of San Antonio was a part of that. And that's not even a small market, but this is San Antonio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Compared to, you know, Dallas and, you know, Houston, it's no fun, really, I guess. Like, I think that's where he really just wanted to be, somewhere he can increase his marketability. And he's home. You know what I mean? So I think he's not going to leave that just at a whim. You know what I mean? The main issue small market teams run into, and you saw it just like a couple years ago with a little while ago, Oklahoma City. They couldn't keep three of their stars together. Like, that's they true. Don't have enough money to pay these guys in small markets. So, no, he's not going back. He wants to be a place where you can win a championship. Your owner's going to spend. You have the richest owner in the NBA. Why would you leave?
Yeah, but you they are trash, though. No, I agree with you. I agree with you, but yeah. I mean, look, I like the Clippers, but I thought they had it. I thought 2 years ago they were going to the finals. I thought last year they had a good shot when Kawhi was healthy, but I don't know.
They're not getting blown out, though. That's the thing. They're in these games. They're just not winning them. Like, so that doesn't necessarily mean they're trash. I think they still have to finish these games more than anything else.
And I agree. I think they're just playing like trash, but I don't think they are trash.
Yeah, they're not trash.
Yeah, but Neil, if they finish 1-81 and it's close games, that's not
Dookie. Come on now. No, I mean, just out of respect for how much of a baller Paul George is, that's not going to happen.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I think he's very underrated in, you know, when people talk about these lists and things like that. Maybe because he hasn't, like, excelled in the biggest moments, but what? Paul George is cold. Like, I don't understand where all this disrespect comes from. Like, no, none of these people who talk crazy about him on TV or on the internet can see this man in a game ever. So I don't know where that comes from. But yeah, I mean, out of respect for his talent, no, they're not. They're gonna get it right. Not right where they're gonna be like top contenders, but they'll be in the mix at least for a playoff spot.
Yeah,
7-8.
Yeah. If I had to be honest, I agree with what you just said at the end. I see them, even without Kawhi, I think they're going to get like a 7th, 8th. You know, I think what now they take 10 teams with the play-in teams. I think this year they're still doing 10 or 9. Regardless, I think they get in 7th, 8th, 9. So they're good. Like, if they get on a good hot streak, they can even go 6th seed, something like that, you know, maybe 5. But I think like a bare minimum, they're probably going to get in like the back end and get in. And then if Kawhi gets in, then they could give people problems. Like how the Lakers were like 7th seed last year. But it's like their 7th seed is like, but I don't want to face them the first round. I think like Clippers get in like the back end, and they'll still like the whole Western playoffs is going to be, you know, a battle every round. So I think that's just what's going to happen. You see something like that happening, Sar?
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about just the other teams, I guess, because I feel like it's either this year, next year, it's going to be the Utah or what do you call it? What's the folks?
Suns.
Well, Jokic just got hurt. Or Denver. I'm really looking probably at Utah, you know, finally pulling it off
this year. But,
yeah, we'll see, man. You know, because I think if they are, if they can stay healthy, especially what's his name, Spire. I think that dude is. I mean,
Donovan.
Yeah, I think he's better than. And this is me. I think he's better than what's his name, the boy.
Devin Booker.
No, Murray. I think he's better than Murray. Yeah, I think he's better than Murray. If
then Jamal healthy, Murray.
Yeah, I think
that's not even a competition. He's way better than Jamal Murray.
I was about to say, it's not even close.
He's way better than Jamal Murray.
You think so?
He would cook Jamal Murray's life.
I don't know about way, way better, but okay, I don't know.
All right, my fault. Jamal Murray, nice. Don't get me wrong. Jamal Murray, nice. When he's hot, he be dropping it. But
he's good at what he does.
right. Exactly. But Mitchell could do that for the whole season, though.
That's the thing. He does it the whole season. But my thing is, Murray has that, I don't know, that X factor, that gene, playoff gene, whatever it is. Like, he starts playing when it matters. And that to me is like, not a lot of people got that. And that's all I really like about him. So, you know, that's why I start putting him up there as far as tiers. But, you know, you guys are right. I think like season wise, if, you know, you're looking at, you know, consistency, you know, definitely Donovan, I think you got that, man.
Jamal Murray, nice. Don't get me wrong. Jamal Murray, nice. He nice. But Donovan, the year he faced Murray and they were going back and forth, and then last year, he's like, and remember when Shaq was like, yeah, you're not a superstar. He's like, okay. He's like, you heard me?
That's all he said.
It was like one word match each. He was like, okay. He's like, no, you heard me? He's like, no, I heard you. He's like, you got that? Yep, I got it. Then I have a player's card. He's like, 40, 50, 40, 50. Yep. He's like, what did you say? Yeah. I didn't know someone's for real. They're like, okay. You're like, no, you got that?
Talk about the gem out of that draft class. He was it. He was the gem. He was the overlooked one.
He really was. But, yeah. He really was.
I think who else was in that class, to be honest.
Tatum, Lonzo.
Yeah.
What's his name who's on the Magic, the point guard who messed up his shot?
Oh, yeah. He went number one overall. He went number one overall.
And barely sees the floor.
All these people went ahead of all these people went ahead of Donovan Mitchell, too. De'Aaron Fox went ahead of Donovan Mitchell. A lot of players went up. I don't know when Lauri Markkanen was drafted, but he was in that draft, too. There was like a lot of people who they thought were like, you know, Bam Adebayo was in that draft. They thought, you know, but Donovan Mitchell right now, besides Tatum, Donovan Mitchell looking, people are like, okay, yeah, you're like the best or second best in this group. So
he's I think they already did like a redraft of that class too. And they were like, you know, I think Tatum went one and
Mitchell two. Yeah. It's like, Mitchell, we sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not going to do that again.
Well, we're going to get into the next topic. Me and Neil are very opinionated when it comes to LeBron and just superstars. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we say what we got to say. And I know Neil likes Westbrook. And then I know someone else on this call likes LeBron. So we're going to get into the Lakers conversation. That's the title of this piece, is, you know, what's going on with the Lakers. So I'm going to come to Neil first, but we're going to find out, like, yo, what's going on with the Lakers right now? They do have a good record. They're coming back. You know what I'm saying? I believe they're 4-3 right now. What do you think about the Lakers so far? Is LeBron and Westbrook, are they meshing? Like, is this working?
Yes.
Go ahead. All right, explain.
Oh, you want me to expand on
that? Yeah.
I said this on the last show, too. I think it was going to take some time anyway. I think the key is really them getting better, like, with their defense as well. Like, once they start locking people down, it opens up the fast break. And I think that's where they were going to shine. They're already the fastest team in the NBA already, like, just because of Westbrook's, like, pace that he plays at. They're already number one in the NBA in pace. But, I think that it's still a work in progress. But those people saying that they need to stop shooting, like they say Westbrook needs to stop shooting and things like that, I wish they would watch these games, because You have to take some of these shots to keep defenses honest. Like, that's just what it is. Like, you can be as mad as you want to, but if he has 10 feet of distance, what do you want him to do? Like, he has to take the shot. We want
We want him to lay it up, bro.
No, but that's the thing. Like, if they're crowding the paint, where are you going to what are you going to do? You got to take the shot. But anyway, that's a whole different story. But yeah, I mean, I think it's still coming together, but you're starting to see, like, they're getting their roles. Westbrook's becoming, like, more of a point guard. Like, he led the league in assists last year. I wouldn't be surprised if he does again this year. So, yeah, believe in L.A.
Can LeBron, Rajon Rondo, and Westbrook coexist? Can you have a lineup out there with all three of them?
I don't think he would have that lineup anyway. I think they're still hurt, one. So you're not going to see these rotations that you're seeing sometimes right now. But no, I don't think you're going to see Rondo and Westbrook sharing the court too often once they get healthy. Like, you know, you got options. You got Kendrick Nunn. Trevor Ariza is going to come back. I mean, that, you know, like, it's still a work in progress, but no, you're going to see them tinker with these lineups until they find what's working. And I think they're starting to see which ones are working. And it looks like Malik Monk in the lineup is really what's, like, elevating their play right now. So that, and Carmelo found his jumper. So that helps.
That does help.
He's averaging 16 right now.
Yeah, boy's killing, man. He's killing.
I was about to say that. Melo's killing it. Sar, we know you're a LeBron fan. Are the Lakers going to the finals?
Man, that's hard to say, man. I mean, if they play the way that they should play, yes. And what I mean by that is, I think Westbrook needs to, you know how people keep saying that he needs to, like, tailor his game? I feel like he doesn't need to do that as much, rather just do what he normally does, which is attack the basket. And for me, whenever he attacks, good things always happen for the Lakers or for whatever team he's on. Because whenever he attacks, he opens lanes and then he kicks it out. And then you just got to make shots at the end of the day. But the other thing I think a lot of teams, even nowadays, they don't utilize too much is the, you know, the free throw line. And, you know, putting pressure on teams to foul you. Whenever Westbrook attacks, I don't know anyone that can really keep up with him when he's on the, on the attack and he's, you know, running past somebody. Either you force him to foul you or you kick it out to open shooter. You know, you got either Melo out there. I like Reeves. Not a lot of people talk about him, but I like Reeves, coming off the bench or even, you know, working with them from time to time starting. And then, of course, Monk, you know, we mentioned. So to me, I think that we can go to the finals only if Westbrook attacks and then LeBron also, refines his, I think, his game a little bit. You know, I know people keep talking about Westbrook refining his, but I would want LeBron to refine his because over the last, I think, 4 or 5 years, LeBron's turnover ratio is just, you know, it's been horrible, man. And he's been doing that, you know, consistently. And that's been getting us in a lot of trouble. And we know Westbrook, unfortunately, one of his negatives, you know, he's a turnover guy. So we can't have two people just kind of giving up 15, 20 turnovers a game, man, which we saw, I think, Westbrook at 10. At one point, I think LeBron had like 4 or 5 or something like that. So, you know, somebody has to, you know, kind of back off a bit. And then, of course, make adjustments, not turn over the ball. But hopefully I answered the question. But, yeah, I think we can make it. But I think we just, you know, everybody got to do their part and not be scared to do their part. So,
you know, one thing I noticed this year, Westbrook is I don't know what I'll say about the Lakers right now, just yet. I don't want to be labeled a hater. No, but Westbrook is shooting 25. Neil said I'm a hater anyway. Neil's only saying this because Westbrook's on the Lakers. Otherwise, he would hate the Lakers.
I'm a Laker fan. Okay, I grew up a Laker fan.
I respect. I think everyone knows me. I was a Kobe fan. I was never a real Lakers fan. So I was a Kobe fan. If Kobe left, I would have just hated the Lakers. So once he retired, I was like, and I saw Lonzo and them, I was like, who are you people? Like, wearing yellow. But I didn't even say gold anymore. I said wearing yellow. But no, look, the thing is, to me, the Lakers have the most talented team, at least in the West. Like, they have the most talented team, at least, like, on paper. You know, they even have enough. Like, Westbrook's, LeBron, people are saying, like, you know, they're an old team. I mean, LeBron's still athletic. He's still probably like one of the top 20 most athletic players in the NBA. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he
didn't play college ball.
Right, exactly.
People that reminded, like, obviously they don't know he saved some time on his body here.
Yeah, he's 36, 36, and he has like a freak body. Like, he has like a, like, he's like a genetic freak. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's
genetically disposed to be great.
Man, I think work ethic is another one that, you know, no, people talk about it, but I mean, that's a huge part, man.
Sorry. There's no type of work ethic that gives someone a body like LeBron James.
Okay. Bro, $1 million on his body, man? How many people are doing that? He's doing real well, man, by doing that.
No, I agree with you, though. No, it's definitely work ethic. But, like, LeBron is the, like, special 0.001% of human beings who have the hard work ethic combined with, like, the Greek god body. And when you combine that into, like, one being, like, they're going to have longevity when it comes to, like Zion Williamson might not be as fortunate. He's like a genetic freak, but just the way his body is shaped, and I don't even want to talk about his work ethic. I don't even know Zion Williamson like that. I knew him in high school. I actually didn't really watch much of his Duke games, but I'm just saying there's a great chance he's not going to be still doing what LeBron James is doing. Like, LeBron's like one out of, like,
Charles Barkley.
You said
going on. Now he has the Charles Barkley going on.
The Charles Barkley, right? The Charles Barkley who retired too, like the Houston Rockets. Charles Barkley.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I don't know, man. You compared to Charles already? Sheesh.
No, I'm just saying it's not even just play. I mean, he does have some similarities, like being his height and everything. But
I'm talking about the body wise.
No, man. Because Charles Barkley started off slim. It's just the fact that he just didn't stay on his regimen to stay that way. And that's not good. Like, Charles Barkley, for his height, it basically zapped his athletic ability by the end of his career. Like, I don't know if you followed it. It's just that, you know, he had problems with his knees, legs, like, you know, all that issue. That was because of his weight. So Zion's running into that now.
Now, I was saying because at how athletic Zion is compared to, I guess, Charles or anybody else. I'm trying to think.
Charles Barkley was called the round mound of the rebound.
When you compare it to Zion, that's completely different, though, man.
Yeah, yo, you got to be fair. Like, Zion, I mean, Charles Barkley was athletic and great, but, like, Zion kind of got that extra twitch in him that's like,
oh, yeah, for
it's
sure.
Just like a little athlete. Yeah, it's like you don't, it's like Sean Kemp. Like, the only big dudes who I saw, like, jumping like that is, like, Sean Kemp and maybe, like, what's his name, man? They called him Chocolate Thunder. Was it Xavier? Xavier.
Oh, from the Knicks?
Was he on the Knicks? But him, like, no. Yeah. I forgot his name, man. Was it Daryl Dawkins? But, like, they got that Blake Griffin.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That crazy Dawkins twitch. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Or Amari. Sorry, I think you said Amari Stoudemire, too. Yeah, like he got that crazy twitch, which makes him, like, which made him a number one draft pick. But I agree with Neil. Like, I mean, I don't know everything that's going on with his body. Like, you know, he's been hurt. I don't think he's played this year. So we'll see. But, like, he got to be careful. He don't got it what LeBron got. And like you said, Sar, LeBron puts in the work and the money to make him, like, into the Terminator. So
you need to sign the, what is it, Rich Sports or whatever they
call it? Yeah. Clutch Sports, whatever they are.
Immediately.
he needs to drop the Louisiana food or whatever he's eating that extra Popeye's chicken.
But he's out for another 3 weeks, too.
Is he?
He just said it today, yeah. Yep.
Maybe this is a James Harden tactic to get out of there.
Hey, but
doing a fat suit.
What about teams like Grizzlies, though? You see what Ja's doing. He's leading the league in scoring right now. I think we should focus a lot more on him right now than
I mean, See, this is the thing. I don't blame anyone for drafting Zion before Ja. Even though, when you look at, I mean, even though, like, he had the injuries, issues, and whatnot, and even though you look at, like, all these players that we named, like, Sean Kemp and a lot of them, like, a lot of these guys were, maybe it's coincidence, but they were, like, really only good for 5 to 6 years, besides Charles Barkley. Like, Sean Kemp had his 5-6 year reign of dominance. I didn't even watch him like that. But, like, I saw the back end of his career. I knew he was with Gary Payton, you know. I seen him, you know, like, just, you know, I saw him when he was on the Bucks, too. You know, he wasn't that great on the Bucks. And but you know, he had that 5-6 year reign. Blake Griffin, you know, kind of had that 5-6 years of dunking on people like crazy, and then, you know, kind of fizzled out. Stoudemire was a little bit longer, but like when he was really banging on people, it was like 5-6 years. So with Zion like coming in the league, like you kind of had that in the back of your head, like, well, I wonder how his game will mature while he's in the league. Or you also kind of wonder, like, is this really going to be like 15 years of him posterizing people? Like, is that possible? So I get that. But like when you have someone like that freakishly athletic and then you have someone like Ja so small, I kind of like I can understand why you get Zion first. But it is looking bad.
It is. Quick. Very quickly looking bad.
So, Neil, you're saying you would draft Ja first in that draft?
I think the game kind of favors wings more than anything else right now. And he's a wing. He's developed his three-point shot, which people thought he couldn't. So, yeah, I would definitely get Ja right now. Preference thing, I guess, you know.
So right now, what does Zion pretty much have to do? Like, what is the next steps for him to really like just solidify his future in the NBA and really solidify himself as a star? Like last year, at one point he was putting up almost 27 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, one, I think stay healthy. That's the most important thing, you know, because we know a lot of number ones that, you know, kind of fizzled out. You know, I'm thinking of like Greg Oden when he came in. He was like supposed to be the next big monster, like center, and then injuries and whatnot kind of got to him. So I think one is stay healthy. Two, that is, you know, cut weight. So I think both going, you know, hand in hand. So he will have to cut weight. You know, I'm pretty sure he's already been told that, you know, plenty of times. And then he'll have to figure out a way to, you know, keep his body healthy and just more tuned. So I'm pretty sure that's like one of his biggest like priorities right now. But honestly, Matt, I think it's still too early. You know, maybe 3-4 years down the line, we can start saying, okay, maybe that wasn't a good option there. But I still think he has some time to kind of, you know, bounce back. But yeah, I mean, right now, as you look at it with the news and everything, I mean, it does sound a lot more troubling, but I think give him, you know, another, you know, 2 years or so and kind of see how, you know, he meshes into the NBA, man.
Hey, man, he could end up being like Kevin Love, but I do prefer fat Kevin Love more than anything else.
Oh, you mean Kevin Love like learning how to shoot more?
Well, I mean like body-wise. I think Kevin Love, when he was fat, he was nice, man. Like,
Kevin Love was nice when he was fat nice, and bald.
But, yeah, but...
Then when he started turning GQ, he started coming a little bit soft.
Yeah, I was like, man, this ain't the same Kevin Love I saw in Minnesota.
Body, man.
Fat Kevin Love was unstoppable, dog. Like, what? Fat Kevin Love he didn't even jump. He would literally box you out like with his backside and get the boards.
What, he had 50 straight double doubles at one point?
Something wild that like that. Homie was grabbing like 15 boards a game, so right. So serious. Look, see, I'm happy you brought up Kevin Love because I was saying, yeah, it's too early to say job. Drafted before. I mean, like, that's going to be people's preferences unless Zion just really falls off. But, like, I think it's early enough for he to decide, like, I mean, last year they used him in different ways. So, I mean, he is way more versatile than people give him credit for. But, like, he should definitely look into Blake Griffin's page. Like, Blake Griffin's, like, last year, 2 years with the Clippers and then Detroit, he was shooting a lot of threes, you know, and he would drive in and, like, you know, be a facilitator to, like, give it to DeAndre Jordan with the Clippers. And then on the Pistons, you know, he was, you know, doing oops to Andre Drummond, you know, like two guys who are bigger than him. So he was like a point forward. Zion was being a point forward last year, but he should definitely like incorporate that in his game more. You know, whichever coach, you know, like the coaches that have him, like use him as a point forward. Hopefully he gets in the gym every offseason, work on his threes. And then like from time to time, boom, posterize people. Just to keep yourself in the league longer. And who knows, like he averaged like, I think he finished the season with 25, 26 last year. So if he does that and keeps it up, even if he's averaging 24-25, he'll continue to do that. He might even average more if he was just getting, you know, he was attacking the basket a lot last year. So adding the three probably increased like his, you know, his point average. And it would just make him like a star for a while. So probably not the worst thing for him to consider. It's like, of course, getting
Ja
in shape.
MVP.
Ja for MVP?
Ja for MVP.
All right, real quick.
Starting the campaign early.
Real quick, I'm going to get y'all two MVPs. I didn't even finish my Laker take, but I guess since I'm a Laker hater, we'll just skip it. But long story short, I think the Lakers got a chance to beat 1, 2, 3 seed. Melo's the key to that team. Like, he's a surprising X factor because he's averaging. You said it earlier, Neil. You said, don't give me that face. You said it earlier. He's averaging 16 points. You know what he's shooting from the field? He's shooting 50, if not 50, very close to 50% from the field. You know what he's shooting from 3-point? 50-something from, seven games. But he's shooting 50-something from the 3-point line, and I think 80% from free throw, or very close to 80%. Like, he's actually embracing this sixth man off the bench role. Remember back in the day in OKC, and they were like, Melo, how would you feel coming off the bench? And he called his man. He's like, hey, P. P was like, yo, what up? He's like, yo, they want me to come off the bench. Yeah, but now you really are coming off the bench. Like, you really are coming off the bench now. Go tell P that. But like now he's like embracing it because like this.
I said that years ago. He should have been coming off the bench, but
and what he's doing now. Like if he was doing what he's doing now on the Rockets, that Rockets team would have been really good. I don't know about OKC, but that Rockets team would have been really good. So
yeah, they were just shooters all over the place. And I'm getting some crazy looks right now. That's the thing. Like, you know, with LeBron and Westbrook on the floor, you're going to get open. You're going to be open. So, you know.
That was the point I was going to bring. I really wish, you know, it's hindsight, of course, and I'm pretty sure Melo probably thinks about it. He had joined the Heat, man. I mean, that if he was there with the Heat, I mean, the number of open looks he would have gotten. I mean, it's just crazy. Even with Dame, like Dame is like a shoot first type person, and even with McCollum, like you pass it to him, you might lucky if you get it back if they don't try, you know, do ISO and then shoot it. But this is to me, I think, one of the, you know, first true times he's really had like a. Well, I mean, he's had a PG, you know, in what's the dude's name that was Lawson, Ty
and, Lawson.
He was when he was there with Denver, but I mean now that he's with LeBron, man, if he was with LeBron like maybe 2 or 3 years earlier, bro. I still think Melo could have been the starter and then popping off because LeBron will find you anywhere, man. Yeah. And then now with Westbrook, I mean, I still think he can put up starter numbers, but I don't think he should be starting. You know, I think he's in the right role right now and Westbrook, you know, can kick it out to him when, you know, LeBron sits and whatnot or if Rondo's there. So
I don't know, man. LeBron's the greatest at who's not a point guard at passing the ball, getting you in the money spots. But I can just see Melo getting the ball and then doing a pump fake and then dribbling close to the 3-point line and do another pump fake and shooting it. It's like, yo, just shoot. Just shoot. Stop. Stop that.
I mean, all he's been doing this year is just, as soon as he get it, just put it up. Like, that's all he's doing now. So. He understands his role.
Well, real quick, before we go off, who's your early MVP? Who do you see getting MVP? Who's your top three?
Me?
Yeah, go ahead, Neil.
I'm going to start with Luka because I feel like the media wants to give it to Luka, but he's not taking it.
Luka don't deserve it, but go ahead.
I think that's what they want, though. I think they want to give him the MVP. But I'll go with him. I'll go with Ja as a dark horse. And I'll put Giannis at 2A, 2B, I guess. I think that's a solid three for me.
So who you got for MVP? Or who your top three?
Man, I feel like every year Steph is like in it, but I think this year, you know, if Golden State can keep it up, you know, I think Steph probably will win it. And then Giannis, of course, he's up there. And I want to say Ja, but I feel like they're gonna definitely fizzle out. So probably not Ja. what's his name? Probably surprising, your boy Jimmy Butler, man, from
Jimmy Buckets.
Miami, man. Yeah, because the way that they're playing defensively right now and with Kyle, I feel like, they might make another run. And I think he's averaging like 24, 25, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see, man.
Man, right now I have Steph Curry, Neil's homie. I got Steph Curry right now as the MVP right now to get his third MVP. He's up there. 5-1 or something like that. Just like one loss, putting up points. I think he just had like a 20-point game, so his average dropped, but he was like averaging 30. Without Klay Thompson dropping 30, my Stephen A. Smith voice. So I got him number one right now. Yeah, Neil, I got him number one right now. But I got Ja right now. Steph Curry, then Ja. KD's in the mix. You know, they don't have Kyrie. You know, KD's in the mix. And I agree, Giannis is there. But that's four. So that would be my four. But, like, Jimmy Buckets is playing well. Jokic is playing all right, too. You know, by the end of the year, honestly, I think Curry's going to get it. That's just my opinion. I think Curry's going to get it. But by the end of the year, I think Steph Curry's going to get it. I think Steph Curry, if they stay the top 2-3 seed and he still puts up those numbers, he's going to get it. They're going to want to give it to him. But I think by the end of the year, I just feel like Jimmy Butler is going to be in the mix, and Jokic. And even though Jimmy don't be putting up numbers like that, but I just feel like he might just do. Good thing about it, everyone else is screwed up.
Jimmy is a permanent number two or three.
That's petty. But he's a number one leader, though. He's a number one.
A number one
leader. He's a number one leader.
That's not how this works, Martin, and you know that.
No, Jimmy's good at giving like the refs like crazy looks and stuff, and that's leadership. That's leadership, yeah.
I don't think they vote on that, but I mean, we'll keep that in mind though if they ever do. But no,
I do think that the Heat will have a top three seed, so it could help in his favor. But I do agree, like probably by the end of the year, his points might not be.
He will never be the sexy pick.
Yo, Neil's just a hater, yo.
I'm just saying he's just not going to be the pick. Like, that's just what it is. Like,
Neil, so were you rooting for the Lakers when they faced the Heat?
Man. Depends on how good the team is, man. Like, if they're overwhelming favorites, I think, out of the East, and Jimmy's, like, the lead on that team, and he's averaging, I think, like, because I think 25 or 26, whatever it is right now, if he's averaging anywhere close, I think that just kind of shoots him at the top, If they got to be like the favorite side of the East, man.
Yeah. Man, I seen Isaiah Thomas at a whole 5'9", dropping 50-point games, and he got just one MVP vote that year.
Hey, yo,
and
Neil,
were they the number one seed too? Like,
hey, Neil, say this to Jimmy's face though.
I would.
Let's see.
Listen, I'm not scared of none of these basketball players.
Wait,
I'm gonna hit him in the ankle or something like that. Something
well,
like
hold on. One player should be afraid of is Dwight Howard, because Dwight Howard actually would knock him out. Dwight Howard is actually one player in the league currently right now. He actually would knock someone out.
He ain't touching me.
Didn't want to change the subject, but I just wanted to give Dwight, like, Dwight Howard actually, like, been.
Dwight, if you're listening.
About the life lately, so.
If you're listening, Dwight.
Just want to let Neil know. A lot of NBA players be soft out here. Jimmy Butler. Wait, even some of these teams try to have a tough mentality.
Can we discuss him not making the 75 list?
Oh, Dwight Howard?
That's outrageous. That's outrageous.
Real quick, like, this is what I say. Dwight Howard should have been on that 75 list.
Easily.
But he's definitely. But first off, they chose the best 20. They chose the first 25 who made it. Like in their 25-year anniversary, they brought them back, and they brought the 50-year crew back. So now you're only choosing out of 25 people. So even though out of the newest 25, Dwight Howard should have made it, but like he was definitely he was on the back end though. Because now you got to think about it. You got to think about who's making this new list. I could be wrong, but I'm not sure if Shaq was in the first 50. I'm not sure. Okay, you got Shaq. You got Iverson. Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, LeBron, Kobe. Like, there's a good 10, 15 dudes who are guaranteed. Now the last people are fighting for the 10s because Dwight Howard's not in that 10, 15. Now with Jason Kidd, Steve Nash. These are MVPs and champions.
At his peak?
Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Dirk, KG, Tim Duncan, Kobe, LeBron, AI. What? Paul Pierce. No, there's like Ray Allen. These guys are all ahead of Dwight Howard. But don't get me wrong, Dwight should. These are the suspect people. Like, oh, look, I'd even name defensive player of the year. I'd even name Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. Dwight should have made it over Dame Lillard. Dame Lillard shouldn't have made it
easily.
Dame Lillard should have made it, but
easily.
But what I'm saying is, Dwight Howard was like, when you're getting in the last seven, Dwight Howard's in that last seven. I hate to say it, but he is.
Because right,
you gotta really think about the other people who made it. Like, oh, who you gonna do? You're not gonna put Dirk. You're not gonna put Dirk in that.
They have Patrick Ewing on there.
What? Patrick Ewing,
Listen, Patrick Ewing comes nowhere close to what Dwight did in his
prime. Yeah, I agree, man.
Go look it up. Okay. Go look it up. I want you to go on Basketball
That's highly disrespectful. That's how
show the comparison between the two.
Wait, sorry. Here's the I agree with Neil. I agree with
Patrick Ewing forgot how to dunk in a game.
I agree with Neil on the defensively. Honestly, you can make a case with Hakeem and Bill Russell. You can make a case that Dwight Howard's the best defensive center we've seen, and Dikembe's in there too. Like, he was just and he's so athletic.
But when you say that, don't you? Just based off of that, doesn't he deserve to be in the top 75?
But he did it for 7 years. He did it for 7 years.
That's better than a lot of people's
prime. Well, hold on. But it's not better than Patrick Ewing, though. Don't do that. Patrick Ewing's whole career? What?
I'm going
Basketball Reference. We should have started. Don't worry. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, our next episode is going to be the 75. We're going to talk about 75. We're all going to make our list, our 75 people.
No, I can't do that, man. That's going to take too long.
No, but
hey, let me get back to let me answer Neil's point with Isaiah Thomas. So Isaiah Thomas, 2016, 2017. He averaged, I just Googled this, of course, 28.9 points. Is it 28.9?
And they were the number one, right? They were the number one in the East that year, right?
I think they were. But Westbrook, bruh, 31. 10, and he was averaging triple-double. That was his first year.
You don't have to tell me.
That's his first year. So based off of that joint, there's no way you can kind of get that up, man.
No, I'm just saying he only got one vote that year, though.
Sorry. This shows you haven't listened to past episodes that we've done because Neil knows that stat about Westbrook, bruh.
Easily. I wasn't even trying to make a Westbrook point, but I was just gonna say, he only got 1 point, and he was the number one in the East that year.
That's crazy! Only got 1 point. That's wow. Jeez.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we got to end the show for right now, but we're gonna come back. We're definitely gonna get into the 75. Top 75. We're going to bring out our names, at least the 20, 25 that we have in this generation to see. We're going to have a slew of characters on there so you can really iron this joint out. And we're going to definitely find out who's really better, Dwight Howard or Patrick Ewing. I can't believe I heard that blasphemy coming to my ears. But I definitely enjoyed my conversation with my brothers Neil and Sar. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens to the Lakers this year. It's going to be interesting. We brought up the Jazz. We talked about the Warriors. We talked about will the Grizzlies still be there. And we talked a lot about the Heat. So in the next, once the NBA, once we see 10, 15, 20 games under the belts, we'll really start having a better idea of, who's doing what in the league. And we'll definitely have another episode and try to cover that. But thank you guys once again for joining. Of course, we're on Anchor. And through Anchor, you can get us on Spotify. I think now Apple Music. And, of course, YouTube. But we're going to have more episodes. We're going to grow more. We're going to have episodes that are more and more entertaining. So definitely continue to follow Hezzy Pull Up Basketball. Thank you guys for joining once again.